Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Miranda.
You're welcome.
Thank you, everyone. I had a message prepared today, and we're going to share that next week. It's a great message. But today, I had this verse rolling around just in my heart, my mind, my spirit for probably this whole week. And you know when you just get glued on something and it's just stuck and it's just like that thing you just keep remembering, thinking about? Like, have you ever had that moment? Just me and Christina here? Okay. Welcome back, by the way, Christina Martin, newlyweds. You're back. Oh, my goodness. Let's give it up for them. Didn't mean to embarrass you too much, guys. Oh, it's good to see you guys back. Isaiah 43:12, and my mic is a little, it's making noise, sorry. Isaiah 43:12, can we get this on the screen? This verse has just, I keep reading it over and over and just getting more insight out of it. And it's really interesting. And I'm going to explain why I find it so interesting at the end of service. But Isaiah 43:12 says, I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God. I love it. Andrea loves it too. Isaiah 43:12. This verse is actually divided into three parts. It's what God has done, what we shouldn't do, and what we should do. That's it. That's the whole verse. It's just broken up into three parts. If you get that, you got the verse. The first word, everyone says, say, I have revealed.
I have revealed.
Say it one more time. I have revealed. I have revealed. I have revealed. I was looking up each of these words in the Hebrew. Revealed is this concept. It's to have a giant picture. Have a giant, almost like a puzzle, if you will. Have a giant puzzle in mind and reveal, like, I'm going to give you a portion of that and reveal it to you. So everyone hold up your puzzle. We're doing illustration early today. It's usually at the end or something. You have a piece of the puzzle, right? You know the interesting thing? If you have your puzzle, you can study it and kind of go, yeah, uh-huh. Like my puzzle, I don't know which way is up and which way is down. It doesn't make sense, right? It can kind of just be there. It just happens. The interesting thing is this verse, it really talks about a piece of the puzzle. I have revealed, I have a grand plan, a grand scheme. I have a major thing in front of me, and this is your part in it. I have revealed who you are. This is you. By giving you who you are, I give you purpose. God has this grand scheme of all of eternity, all of humanity, all time, Alpha, Omega, beginning, end, that involves his giant puzzle, if you will. And we're just one piece. And sometimes that can almost be hard on some of us. Some of us who really like the details of like, well, I need to know what I'm fitting next to, God, in order for me to fit right. And God's like, no, you need to know who you are to fit right. I give you who you are. I don't expect you to have all that I have, or else you'd be God. No, that's me. I'm God. I have the puzzle, and you are the piece. I give you purpose. I give you purpose. Some of you guys know I'm a nerd, so that was my transition. But I love watching. Video, amen. I just get an amen. The first amen from John in the last year and a half was that I am a nerd. Wow. I absolutely love watching people play video games. I know that sounds kind of weird. Do you know they have like websites for this? You can live watch people play video games. Do you know that exists? Some of you guys don't even know. Like there's websites and there's hundreds of people playing video games live, and you can just sit there and watch it. Like, I know that's the greatest time waster of all time to sit and watch them play. But I grew up in a family. We were three brothers, and we only had like one game system. And so we'd have to sit and you take turns watching. That's just what happens. You know, now kids nowadays, everyone has their own game system. That's not how we rolled when we were kids. Like, you share and you watch. You're like, it's my turn yet, you know?
There's probably help groups for that.
There's, yeah. There probably is. So I was watching this one video game stream, and it's probably my favorite video game clip of someone else playing a video game of my entire, I hear it quoted all the time. It makes me laugh inside. It's hilarious. So the setup is there's this video game called World of Warcraft, and basically, okay, well, you play a character and you take on like all kinds of stuff and you go and attack and kill things and whatever. So there's this super hard dungeon. It's called a raid, okay? And if you don't have a plan ahead of time, you're not going to beat it. Like, there's no chance. Like, every person has to fit in their role, their specific thing, and if it doesn't all work together, it's done. And so the clip starts. Can I get the handheld up here? So the clip starts out with, I can't, like, move. If I move, it makes a sound. The clip starts out with everyone sitting there. There's 20, 30, 40 people. It's just a mass of people. And there's one guy, the captain. He says, okay, you're going in. You're going to go to the left, and you're going to do this. You're going to go to the right, and you're going to do this. All right. Hold. Perfect. Yes, I can move. Take this off. Okay. And so I love this clip because everyone's sitting there and he's like, okay, you go to the left, you go to the right. You're going to do healing stuff. You're going to attack this guy and you're going to do this. The clip, I'm going to be honest, was like 45 minutes up to this point, just explaining and going through. I know, it's sad, I watched it. So they're explaining, like, you're going to do this, you're going to run here, you're going to try to sneak past, you're going to put on this cloak of invisibility, you're going to do this, and you explain it. It gets halfway through explaining, okay? It's only like half. And this one guy standing in the back, he's like had enough. And he just yells out his name and just runs in, guns blazing. He goes, Leroy Jenkins! And just runs straight in. And you just hear the captain go, are you kidding me? We just sat here for 45 minutes. And then everyone just runs in, and the whole plan falls apart. And so it's like an eight-hour level, okay? You play for 8 hours straight to beat this. That's the intensity of how hard this is. And in the first area is the easiest part. They all died in the first area because one guy just runs in, I got this, you know, because I'm not willing to spend the time learning my role. I'm not willing to take my time to do who I'm supposed to do. And so the pieces around were actually devastated because of that. And I think it's so applicable that God has such a piece for us, such a plan for us, and we have things that connect directly to us. And if we're not willing to take the time to fit in just right, we don't get the full connection. Yeah, we can still connect to my daughter loves putting puzzles together. And sometimes the puzzle we finished, but some of the pieces aren't in the right spots. Like, they're in there forcibly, you know? And so we can do that as Christians and say, I got this. God, I know what I'm doing here. I don't want to wait out the time to learn my purpose in life. I just don't have time on that. Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. It's all about purpose. God says, I have revealed. Can we just keep Isaiah 43 up, and when we go to a verse, go to it and then go back to Isaiah. I have revealed. It's all about purpose. Second part, I have what? Saved. Let's say it one more time together. I have saved. I have saved. I have saved. This word means victory. Victory. Can everyone say victory one time?
Victory.
Victory.
That is crazy. My notes got updated and a bunch of things moved around. Have you ever had that happen? Like an update, it's like shunk.
No, I write it down on
paper. Oh, paper? I shoulda. Shoulda. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. Okay. Saved. If you have a cell phone, you don't have to worry about it? Oh, it's in your head? I don't understand. Save. This word simply means victory. Victory. I've given victory. Because God has given us victory, he has released us. He has given us room to go out and move past the bondage and sin and everything of this world. He has released us to move into the purpose he had given us prior. So we can't fit into that purpose if we're not released to go into that purpose. Does that make sense? It's a stacking verse. I have revealed, I have given you purpose. I have saved so that you can move into that purpose. I have saved. How many people, do you love football, sports? It's happening right now. Football? Thanks. John and Martin? Thanks. And Riker, he likes football? Does he have a football shirt on? That's awesome. Little Riker. So, this is my question. Who determines in football who gets victory? How many people would say, like, the better team, maybe? This is kind of a trick question, so. Do you know it's actually the referee? No, think about it. Just hear me out. There's one time my team scored 3 touchdowns, and all 3 didn't count because a stinking referee kept throwing the yellow flag every time. As John is, like, throwing. You have a yellow flag back there, too? You were really into football. Victory. The referee ultimately decides if there's a victory because he can make calls on whatever team he wants to. If he really likes the other team, I know it's unethical, but I really believe they do it. If they like the other team more, it's like, oh, it's okay, face mask, keep going, you know? But then your team, you only get victory if you're scoring the touchdowns and the referee plays it through. Is he fair on both sides? Victory. I love this quote. This has to do with purpose and victory. John W. Gardner, founding chairman of Common Cause, said it's rare and high privilege to help people understand the difference they can make, not only in their own lives, but also in the lives of others, simply by giving of themselves. Gardner tells of a cheerful old man who asked the same question of just about every new acquaintance he fell into conversation with. What have you done that you believe in and you are proud of? Think about that. What have you done that you believe in and are proud of? He never asked conventional questions such as, what do you do for a living? It was always, what have you done that you believe in and are proud of? It was an unsettling question for people who had built their self-esteem on their wealth or their family name or their exalted job title. Not that the old man was a fierce interrogator. He was delighted by a woman who answered, I'm doing a good job raising 3 children. By a cabinet maker who said, I believe in good workmanship and practice it. By a woman who said, I have started a bookstore and it's the best bookstore for miles around. I didn't care how they answer, said the old man. I just want to put the thought into their minds. They should live their lives in such a way that they can have a good answer. Not a good answer for me, but for themselves. That's what's important. Purpose can only happen if we're released into that purpose. John 14:6, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. What's the third thing that in this verse it says God has done? Proclaimed. Say it one more time. Proclaimed. I have revealed, I have given you a purpose. I have saved, I have given you victory for that purpose. And I have proclaimed. This is kind of a weird word to look up in the Hebrew. Proclaimed isn't just like, hello! It's not just someone shouting out from the hilltops. This word literally means to cause to hear. Like you forcibly take someone and you make them hear something. This is a horrible illustration, but this is the only way I can think of to illustrate this point. So if a tree falls on a forest and no one's around to hear it, does it make a sound? Does it? Because the definition of sound is it goes through someone's ear. Now everyone's like, wait a minute. So here's what this word means. So there's a tree, there's a forest, and someone takes a tape recorder, puts it next to a tree, runs away, it falls, and all of a sudden you get the tape recorder, and if like he would show up here and play it, he would cause us to hear the tree falling. That's what this word means, to cause to hear. It's giving the ability to hear something that normally you wouldn't be able to hear on your own. To cause to hear. That's so strange. To cause to hear. I have revealed, I have saved, I have proclaimed. By him causing us to hear that we are saved and have a purpose, he gives us wisdom. I've given you purpose, I've given you victory, and now I give you wisdom. I give you wisdom, wisdom. I love this quote too. Automaker Henry Ford. Does anyone know who Henry Ford is? It's like, go outside and look for a Ford car. He started it. Automaker Henry Ford asked electrical genius Charles Steinmetz to build the generators for his factory. One day, the generators ground to a halt, and the repairman couldn't find the problem. So Ford called Steinmetz, who tinkered with the machine for a few hours and then threw the switch. The generators whirred to life, but Ford got a bill for $10,000 from Steinmetz. Flabbergasted, that's a great word. The rather tight-fisted car maker inquired why the bill was so high. Steinmetz replied, for tinkering with the generators, it's $10. For knowing where to tinker, it's $9,990. Ford paid the bill. Wisdom. Do you know where to look and where to find your purpose? Where to look and find your victory when you don't feel victorious? Wisdom. See, it ties in the rest. So all of a sudden, God says, I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. That's part one. What has God given? Now, this kind of bothered me for a little bit. For a while, I kept looking and saying, God, is this just three things you think we need out of the rest of the Bible, of everything else you say we need? I have revealed. I have a purpose. I have saved you. I've given you victory. And I give you an ability to hear my heart. And I kept thinking about this. Did he give us these three things? Or did he give us himself? God has a purpose for us. Jesus has saved us. And the Holy Spirit causes us to hear God. Ooh. Is that amazing? God shows up not to just give us three things, but to give us himself. I've given you myself as the Father. Everything that I have in all of history, my grand scheme, I give it to you. Because you're a piece of it. Victory, I give you my son to die on the cross, Jesus. I give him to you. The Holy Spirit, so that you can be connected to me on a daily basis, so you can hear from me. You can know what I want to say to you. You can know how to act, what to do. I give you me. Part one. And then part two. I am not some foreign God among you. I've given you myself. And some foreign god among you won't be able to satisfy those needs. They won't be able to fulfill your purpose in life. You'll still feel lacking. You'll still feel like you need to belong no matter what. You won't be able to feel full victory. You'll still have that guilt and that sin if you try to fill it with other things. And proclaimed, you won't be able to hear my heart through something else, only me. I am not some foreign god among you. This is talking about idols. This is idol talk. Stuff we shouldn't do, part two. I am not some foreign god among you. Idol. Here's how an idol works. This is just broken down, what an idol is. Let's say I'm a cow farmer, because I was talking about cows earlier today with Tammy. I'm a cow farmer. And let's say, like, they don't produce enough milk, okay, 1 year. And I'm like, come on, I need more milk. And so then as a farmer in this day and age, I would take a lump of wood and I'd start carving and I make a little cow and I, like, name her Betsy or something. I put her up and I make little candles and I start praying and like, Betsy, give me more milk. I need my cows to have more milk. Like, that's what an idol is. You try to take it upon yourself to solve your own problems. That's what an idol is. Like, it's not working out, so now I need to solve it myself. That's an idol. Now, don't miss the disconnect. 4,000 years ago, they made little wooden statues, but today, I think we still have idols. They just don't look silly like little cows named Betsy with candles in front of them. I think they're other things. I think they're things that we say, this isn't working in my life, so I'm going to try doing this instead on my own. That's actually an idol. And I think that's kind of scary to think about. God says, no other God before me. Because I supply your need. And you're trying to get your need from something else? You're cray-cray. That's me. That's not God saying that. I am not some foreign God among you. I think it's willing to press this point for a moment. Have you ever felt missing one of the first three things that God says, I give you? Have you ever felt maybe that you don't have a purpose and you decided to fill that one out of the three with something else? God says, only I can fulfill that need. Have you ever felt like you weren't winning at something or maybe you felt like you were losing at something? I'm not saying a loser, I'm just saying losing at something. And you try to force something else to happen. I really believe in a lot of families that men or women, if they don't feel successful in home, they try to fulfill that need by going more into work. Or do you not hear God's heart? Do you not understand the Holy Spirit? Do you not understand that he speaks through us, gives us comfort, gives us understanding, gives us wisdom? And you try to fulfill that with everything else. It looks different to every person. Back in this day and age, everyone would create their own idols, and in a city there'd be thousands of them. Some copied others and some made their own. But for you, what area of your life do you have an idol in? Out of these three. Because literally, you're taking away God's job. He says, I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. Henry Nouwen. Oh man, this book. This man was a priest and one day he decided to stop doing everything else he was doing and go to basically a convalescent home and just live out his life. And in that moment, in those moments there, God spoke to him the most, gave him understanding, gave him wisdom, and he started writing books. And some of his books are just phenomenal. Just the depth and insight he learns from the patients there. And one of the things he says in the book, The Wounded Healer, Henry Nouwen retells a tale from ancient India. Four royal brothers decided each to master a special ability. Time went by and the brothers met to reveal what they had learned. "I have mastered a science," said the first, "by which I can take a bone of some creature and create the flesh that goes with it. I," said the second, "know how to grow that creature's skin and hair if there is a flesh on its bones." The third said, "I am able to create its limbs if I have flesh, the skin, and the hair." "And I," concluded the fourth, "know how to give life to that creature if its form is complete." Thereupon, the brothers went into the jungle to find a bone so they could demonstrate their specialities. As fate would have it, the bone they found was a lion's. One added flesh to the bone. The second grew hide and hair. The third completed it with matching limbs, and the fourth gave the lion life. Shaking its mane, the ferocious beast arose and jumped on its creators. He killed them all and vanished contently into the jungle. We too have the capacity to create what we can devour us. We too have the capacity to create what can devour us. Goals and dreams can consume us. Possessions and property can turn and destroy us. Unless we first seek God's kingdom and righteousness and allow him to breathe into what we make of life. I love that. Going back to Isaiah 43:12, part three. "I have revealed and saved and proclaimed. I have given you myself, and no other idol among you can give you that. You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, that I am God." I love this. "You are my witnesses." This word, it's just fantastic. In the Hebrew, it means evidence. What's that? Evidence. You are my witnesses. You are the evidence. If the world was CSI and they showed up and saw you, they would connect you to me. You are the evidence. Evidence of what? Declares the Lord that I am God. Love that concept. Declares the Lord that I am God. This is actually a throwback Thursday, if you will. Our next series is throwbacks. I'm looking at all the throwbacks in the Bible. Declares the Lord that I am God. This is a throwback. When translated, it's derived from the word I am. It's actually referencing God talking to Moses on the mountain. And Moses says, So you've asked me to do this, God. Okay. you fixed my insecurities. You fixed all about me. But, okay. Now, when I go and tell the people that I'm supposed to tell them and I'm supposed to take all their slaves from them and we're going to go out and we're going to, what's your name? Who do I call you? Who are you? Man who's speaking in this bush? And God just says, I am. I am. So this is actually derived from this conversation that God has with Moses. It says, declares the Lord that I am God. This word means I am, but it's actually translated from the Hebrew as this. The definition is exists. You are the evidence that I exist. Oh my goodness. You are the evidence that I exist. Going back through the verse one more time. I've given you purpose because I am the Father. I have given you salvation because I sent my Son. I am proclaiming to you my heart through the Holy Spirit because he'll cause you to hear. And no other thing that you'll put in your life can give you that at all. You are the evidence that I exist. The reason why I love this verse is because there's a few verses out there like this, but this verse actually summarizes the entire Bible. It has the Trinity in it. It has what we shouldn't do. It has what we are. One sentence, two sentences, one verse sums up who we are, what God is, and how to live our lives. Isaiah 43:12. If you've been trying to find a verse to memorize for your life, this would be a great one to start. God has something so in store for us, so big for us, such a magnitude. But is it really just to live this life and to feel like the goosebumps on our arms and the chills that God's here? Is that the conclusion of this life? Or is the conclusion that we are the evidence that God exists? We're saved. We're going to heaven. That's a given. But what do we do with the time that we're here? What do we do now? I love, Frank, can I pick on you for a second? Is that okay? All right, I got the shoulder shrug, so that's good enough. I thought one of the coolest things I'd seen, we were at the hospital together, and a lady walks in asking if you want any magazines to read. And you just started talking to her, and in a few moments, she had just opened up her life, and you were able to pray for her and her husband through all the things that were going on. And she came to serve you. And through the power of God and discerning through the Holy Spirit, you were able to bring him in a mighty way into her life at that moment. Man, it's moments like that. That's what this verse is talking about. Moments like this, when we show up and connect God to the people around us. It's moments like that that we see just the coolest things happen. I wanted us to stand up this morning. We're going to go back into a time of worship just to reflect and worship God for who he is. Worship team, come forward. And I just want to pray for a moment. So can everyone stand up just right where you're at? Finish out your notes. Lord, I believe there's two types of people here today that really came here for something more. You're moving in all of us here today, but there's two groups of people that you're calling out to step further into life today, at this moment. The first group is that salvation or rededicating their life to you today. Maybe they felt overwhelmed in guilt or sin, or they're just saying, I need you, Jesus, to give victory to my life. I'm playing football, and I'm losing to the other team, but the referee can give victory. And the second group of people here today is this. You have basically idols covering different aspects of your life. You don't feel like you're worthy in certain areas, so you go after something, or you try to fulfill a need yourself, and it's just not working out. There's something really cool that happens when you give it up to God and say, God, I'm done trying to do this myself. I need you. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts enacting in your life in a mighty way. With everyone's eyes closed, if you're the first group of person and you're saying, I need to rededicate my life to Jesus, or I need Jesus in my life today. If that's you, we're not going to embarrass you. We're not going to do anything crazy or weird or strange. I just want to just see your hand so we can pray and I can be praying for you this week. Can you raise your hand up today? Okay. I see a couple hands. Thanks. Go ahead and put your hand down. And if you're here today and this is this is kind of the hard one. You're saying, you know what? I have been trying to do something my own. I have formed an idol, a 21st century idol. And I need to break it today. I need it to go away because I need to let God do who he's going to do in my life. I need him to step up in a mighty way, and I need to see that happen. I want to feel the purpose. I want to feel the victory. I want to hear the voice of God. If that's you today, would you stick your hand up? Man, boldly stick it up. Boldly stick it up. Don't come to God ashamed. It says boldly go to the throne room of grace. When you boldly go, he gives you grace. And amen. Go ahead and stick your hands down. Lord, I pray for both groups of people. I pray for those that need your son today. I pray for the rededication saying, I fully accept you, Jesus. I want you in my life in a mighty way. I need you. I crave you. I desire you to be in my life, God. The second group, Lord, I pray that whatever it is that they've shaped and formed and made in their life to fulfill needs on their own, break it. Let them rely on you. I'm reminded of that image, Lord, when you're standing on the water and you call out and he steps off the boat into the water. It's scary. We don't know if we can stay afloat in some areas of our life because we need to break certain things. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, when we keep our eyes on God, all of a sudden, what shouldn't be able to support us, supports us. What should normally cause us to drown actually becomes our foundation. Lord, let us step out of the idol mindset, out of trying to do the things on our own, into your presence fully, leaving it behind and moving into what you have called us to move into, God. And allow us to become the evidence that you exist. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship God together.